walk, not just talk the talk. Again, I've been speaking with Susan Emmons. She's the executive director of Northwest Pilot Project. She'll be presenting this Sunday at the First Congregational Church, 1126 Southwest Park Avenue. Title of her presentation is Portland's Housing Crisis and How to Solve It. For KBOO News, I'm Jimmy Tardy. I've been speaking with Susan Emmons. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks very much.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
The time is 6:01, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 Community Radio. Up next is Labor Radio. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Vocational Rehabilitation Program, providing assistance to eligible tribal members with disabilities on retaining, and securing employment particular to their strengths, capabilities, and experience. Information can be found at grandron.org, or you can call them at 1-800-242-8196.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Oregon Council 75, representing over 25,000 Oregon public and private sector employees, families, and communities, protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com.
Now, time for the bullet. Let's the bullet. Let's the bullet. Let's liberate radio. Time. The working. The clashes. Educate. Organize. Activate. Yeah. The time is now. Look up to the past. To the 30s. Yeah. The sit down. The strike. It's time to make things right. We've been taking it for far too long. Now the labor movement getting real strong. The we got labor radio with your host, the Megan and Mayor.
Hello and welcome to Labor Radio, bringing you the news and views of, by, and for working people every Monday at 6. I'm Megan Heiss, and my co-host is Meredith Reese. Tonight we're talking to high school students organizing with the Portland Student Union in advance of their regional convention next weekend.
My name is Alexia Garcia, and I just graduated from Lincoln High School, and I'm taking a gap year and continuing to organize.
My name is Lily McLaughlin, and I am a senior at Lincoln High School. And currently there isn't a union at Lincoln High School, but I'm working on starting it.
My name is Ian Jackson. I'm a senior at Cleveland High School and a member of the Cleveland Student Union.
My name is Emma Christ. I am a senior at Cleveland High School as well and a member of the Cleveland Student Union.
It's great to have all of you here. I think just to get started, maybe some people haven't heard as much about the Portland Student Union. A lot of our listeners at KBOO are union activists or other activists. If you want to tell us a little bit about how the Portland Student Union got started.
The Portland Student Union started organizing against austerity cuts. We saw austerity cuts throughout the community and austerity cuts in our schools, and we thought it was something that really needed to be organized around in the schools. A lot of students don't know what austerity cuts are and don't know that they're happening throughout our communities. And then from there, we moved on to standardized testing. We saw the overuse of standardized testing in our schools and the inappropriate use of standardized testing to evaluate teachers as well as evaluate students. There's also big race inequalities and class inequalities for standardized tests, and we wanted to educate students about those things and take action.
And the hope with the Portland Student Union is that we have student union branches at every high school that then send reps to a greater Portland Student Union, and that way we can organize around specific things within our high school as well as organize around things over the entire district. And so we're not currently organized at every high school, but that is our final goal.
I've also heard about walkouts. Does anyone want to take credit for some of your past exploits as the Portland Student Union?
I don't know if anyone could necessarily take, one single person could take credit. The walkouts were sort of one of the final movements, I would say, in our campaign against standardized testing. And so it wasn't necessarily like, we're going to walk out of school because we're tired of these tests. I mean, it was that in a sense, but also it got a lot more awareness. And after these walkouts that occurred in high schools around the city as well as other cities around the country, a lot more students were aware of what the student union was, and they came to these meetings. And we had such a huge turnout, and they've been really instrumental people throughout the rest of our campaigns.
In 2012, we saw $27 million of budget cuts coming to PPS, and that was kind of the first big action by students. And we had the students on strike on May Day, which about 200 kids skipped school. And I think the original idea was that we'd come protest at the PPS headquarters, but we ended up not being allowed in. There were already police there, so we just took it to the streets and marched all around Portland. Went to City Hall, came back to PPS, got to talk to Carol.
And who's Carol?
Carol Smith's the superintendent of Portland Public Schools. It was interesting because a couple days later, Sam Adams mysteriously found $5 million to give to PPS. So we'd consider that a success, and I think that was one of the first kickoff points for the Portland Student Union because a lot of students got involved after that.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the Portland Student Union, how you operate, and what kinds of issues you intend to take up for students?
The Portland Student Union, students find it very important to run the union horizontally through horizontal leadership and not have one specific leader. And we try to run the group collectively. And that, A, makes sure everybody has an equal voice, but also it's really hard to organize students and you have this four-year turnover. And there's a thought that when everybody has an equal voice, you won't have a four-year turnover and you'll lose all your school activism. It'll be easier to carry that on.
A lot of people are familiar with a union that's workplace-based. What's the point of having a union for students?
I feel like it's important to have a student union because these cuts not only affect teachers, but directly the students. These things that are being asked of teachers, for example, planning periods and the amount of time that they have to plan for the rest of the day. Currently at Lincoln, teachers have 7 periods of work time and 1 period to plan. And that really affects the students because I would like to go in and talk to my teachers if they can. And unfortunately, students are lined out of the classroom around the corner, and I'd say not even half of those students are met with. And it's important for students to realize that this directly affects them and it's their problem too. And I just think it's important that they be educated and stand up and fight for teachers because they're fighting for themselves and their futures.
And I think you'll find that there's plenty of groups that say they stand for children and that they care about education. And so often they're entirely adults that are in these groups organizing for students. And it's so frustrating to see adults come to meetings and say, I only look at issues through students' first lens. And you're like, well, you haven't talked to students. Look at what the student union's working on. That everything you're doing entirely contradicts what we're asking for. And so we are out there to really ensure that student voice is being heard and that our demands are being reached. So a lot of this is almost a campaign to petition our school board members, our state legislators, everyone out there who claims to be working for students.
One thing you've talked about with the Portland Student Union is that there are demands and that there's a student voice. What are some of the things that students are looking for when it comes to education?
So last December, we actually put together a list, we called it our 5-point program, of areas that we felt needed to be addressed in public schools. Some of the things listed on that were standardized testing and its use to evaluate both students and teachers, budget cuts and how we see those affecting our public education, the criminalization of youth or the school-to-prison pipeline, the corporate attack on education, and then emphasizing student voice and collectively working in our schools and kind of more community-based schools rather than schools that are so mandated by the state and district.
My mom is a third grade teacher at Chapman Elementary, and she was about to lead her third graders to take the OAKS test, which does take up considerable amount of funding. And this girl came in, normally a bright, sunny personality, excited to learn, and she's obviously disturbed by something, and she can't concentrate. She's crying. Something's wrong. So she goes up to the girl, and they're about to take their OAKS test, and this girl's obviously not ready. So what's going on, sweetie? She proceeds to tell that her parents had fought earlier that morning. And it was probably just a little squabble, you know, something that just, you know, married couples have. But it had destroyed this girl for, you know, this beginning of the day. And no matter how good this girl was at math or spelling or reading, that's not going to be reflected in her test scores that day because of something that had happened at home, far away from the classroom, that had nothing to do with that teacher. And yet, teachers are expected to be evaluated by these standardized tests when they won't accurately reflect the student. And I'd also like to further explain this idea by using an analogy that I personally love. It's called No Dentist Left Behind. It's taken kind of the perspective of if dentists were treated this way. So if you imagine a dentist has many clients, you know, and there may be a client that lives in a food desert, meaning that there aren't many places to get fresh food, and maybe the closest thing is a mini mart. And so this particular person has cavities, and the dentist may try hard as he can to treat the cavities to make sure that this patient is healthy. But at the end of the day, they have cavities. And is that the dentist's fault? Should the dentist be decreased in pay because this particular client comes in with cavities outside of the dentist's workplace? But I think it's a perfect example because only teachers are penalized for something like this. And so to counter this, I think that it would be extremely valuable to have teachers be evaluated in a different way.
I first got involved with the Portland Student Union when I went down to Salem to lobby with the legislators down there in support of not cutting $22 million from the Portland Public School District, which would have obviously been very detrimental to my everyday education. I would see fewer art classes, PE classes, they've had to cut sports programs, women's golf is cut, men's golf has been cut, some which are outlets for some students, and that's, you know, how they're going to be going to college. They're going to have scholarships. Girls' golf scholarships are great. And so I went down and I met with legislators like Diane Rosenbaum and numerous other members of the Senate and of the House, argued that we're students and that our education is the platform for the rest of our lives, and it's what's going to be one of the most influential aspects of who we are, and to take $22 million away from that is just such a detrimental and horrific thing to do to students. I mean, it's not just affecting whether or not I'm going to be able to take ceramics in school, but it's going to be affecting my ability to perform in the rest of my life.
We also saw this year that the youth pass, our youth bus pass that's given to us by the city, TriMet, and PPS, was on the chopping block. And that was another thing that students organized around. We got students testifying at the city council meetings and talking to TriMet city council members and Portland Public School Board members about protecting our youth pass, because that's such an important thing for students to have to transport themselves to school. And so another issue, it goes along with budget cuts, something that we see every couple years, is that being threatened. And so we organized around it, and I think definitely helped us in actually having the city and TriMet find funds to fund that again this year.
Another critical point of the Portland Student Union's goals is to have collectively run schools. We'd like to have schools run with student and teacher input, not the top-down mandates that we currently see in our educational system. For example, teachers and students right now in Portland feel somewhat helpless with the district being so disconnected from our schools. I know when the PAT had a rally recently, we all went into the district building and walked in on Carol Smith, the superintendent, showing a video of goats eating grass across the district. as the teachers are in the middle of contract negotiations. Only one board member has come to any of the contract negotiations. That's Steve Buell. None of the other board members have gone to the contract negotiations. Carol Smith hasn't been to one. And there's just this huge disconnect between the district and the schools, and the district and the board members are still making the decisions. And we find it appropriate for students and teachers to collaborate and make the decisions for our schools.
And not only do we see it at the district level, but we see it at the state level and at the federal level, that we now have these things like Race to the Top and waivers from No Child Left Behind. But in order to get those, you must like fulfill requirements, which mean like evaluation based on test scores, or I don't know, just these other programs that most likely I don't see Portland implementing if we had the choice. And I think that kind of ties in with another one of our points, which is the corporate attack on education and this idea of corporate education reform and who like really has power in deciding what's going on in public education. And I think we see this in kind of a national charter school movement, in which a lot of our public schools are being closed and turned into charter schools. And you even see this from Arne Duncan, who's the Secretary of Education, when he said that Katrina was the best thing that happened to New Orleans, when basically Katrina came through, destroyed tons of their public schools. What happened in the end was so many of those schools just became charter schools. And if that's what we want in our education, I mean, it hasn't necessarily hit Portland. I think a lot of our charter schools here are really community-based and great, but I think it's a big fear, especially when you see that the greatest amount of charter schools are in the Jefferson cluster, in which they've also had to close the most amount of public schools in that cluster than all of the other clusters combined in the last 10 years. So it's definitely something to fear, and it's something that we want to work on to really reclaim that these are our schools, these are the public schools, we don't want them in the hands of corporate lobbyists. So I would say that, like I was saying, in the Jefferson cluster, which is a cluster in North Portland, we've seen that there have been more schools closed in that cluster in the last 10 years than there have been in any other clusters in Portland combined. And I think that's directly as a result of parents having other options. The schools are evaluated based on test scores. The Jefferson High School schools, a lot of them appear to be in need of improvement, which is basically failing. A lot of them are Title I schools. They're focus and priority schools, which means a lot of, and this is all of based in mandates from the national state government, it means that these schools then have more of their focus on improving their test scores, and less, that means money is going towards testing coordinators instead of art teachers. So in a lot of ways, all of these corporate mandates and these national state mandates have made these schools places where students really don't want to be, and then in turn provided charter schools as an alternative.
The charter schools are privately run, so they're not in the public interest, and public education is something that is in the public interest, and it's all of our duties as citizens and as members of the community to provide public education, and we don't want to see private companies and private corporations hijack education, and that's the fear of these charter schools. And you see it in a lot of other places in our country right now. For example, the Postal Service is in the middle of being privatized, and that is a public service that is publicly owned. It's really scary to see the private takeover of all our public industries.
And I think it becomes a cycle, because once you have students leaving the public schools, the money follows the students. So that school no longer gets as much money. They can no longer fund as many programs. The school's worse, more students leave, and slowly you do have this private takeover.
Yeah, and in the future, we could have no public schools, and education would become a voucher system where you take your voucher and take it to the school, and there would be no public schools.
One of our other points was stopping the criminalization of youth, or the school-to-prison pipeline. And this is something that I know the Jefferson High School Student Union is really planning on taking on, because so often, especially in a school that has high ratio of students of color and poverty rate, their school seems incredibly criminalized by the community and definitely has impacts on their enrollment. And I know a lot of what they're doing is trying to first reclaim their school as a place where students really want to be, and then two, really stopping this criminalization of youth. So they get labels of being a gang school. I know recently the Portland Tribune wrote an article about gang activity in Portland, and the picture was students at the Jefferson High School football game. So they're doing a lot of organizing around that. I heard a personal story from a student there who's really heading up their student union about just a student she knew that got sent to prison, was taken out of public school. The education system in prison person is probably worse than what we have in our public schools right now. And then just came back to school and was behind and wasn't passing their tests. And that's a lot of what they see in that community is students drop out. They have a 35% graduation rate, and a lot of it is all because the focus isn't as much on education, but so much on containment and ensuring that police officers roaming the halls, and they're not a place for education anymore, but a place to just babysit kids and do their best to prevent them from becoming criminals. When really that money should be invested in proper education and giving students more opportunities so that we have after-school programs and we have reasons that really bring us to school and make us love our schools.
Another point that the Portland Student Union has really taken on is the idea of academic freedom and students' voice inside of their classroom. So for me personally, the most influential teacher I've had was my eighth grade teacher, because he brought his own opinion and his passion into the classroom. He is one of the few teachers that I've had who I honestly truly care about their opinion, and who really pushed me to do my best and got me passionate about politics and about things that were going on, rather than just sitting there and learning about the slave trade or something like that. They were core subjects, but we looked at them in different views. And so I think that one of the issues that really needs to be addressed nowadays is making sure that teachers are able to form their own curriculum and bring their own voice into their classroom, because that's going to be the most effective thing to a student. It's going to be what they remember rather than just what the district handed down. And along with that, I think that students should be able to have their own voice in their classroom. So when it comes to projects or something like that, if a student wants to take an idea that they learned about, if in history last year when we were learning about the suffragette movement, taking that and making a project and running with it and being able to present it, and having school be a place where you can form your own ideas and really educate yourself in a way.
I just like to stress that teachers aren't in this job for the money. They're in it because they like kids. I mean, teachers don't get paid as well as they should, but they realize that and they're still willing to go and teach kids. So I think it's a testament to the fact that they should be in charge of their own curriculums. If they're that invested, they're there for the kids. I definitely feel like that's a perfect example of why they should have a say in what they teach their kids.
And the passion that they bring is going to rile up the students and make them passionate about what they're learning. And that creates a stronger community in a sense, because then it's not student versus teacher, but it's student and teacher, and they're working together and they're helping each other. And it creates an environment where students want to be, and it creates relationship where the student sees their teacher not as just some person who teaches the class that they want to skip, but as someone who's a mentor in a sense, and that they have a more equal sort of relationship.
I also think it's valuable that kids have a say in their own curriculum, because it teaches them that they do have a say, and if that they think that something is important and should be implemented and should be taught, that they're encouraged to do so, and they carry that with them for the rest of their lives, and they realize they do have an impact and that they can change things for the better if they want those things to be changed. And currently, I feel like with teachers teaching to the test and kind of more oppressive curriculum, kids don't take this with them. They feel like, oh, well, I am put in this box and I am supposed to follow these rules, and they don't have the skills later to challenge anything or to collaborate or to put their own opinion into what they want to see, whether it be education or just going on in life. And I feel like that's a very valuable lesson that we are currently not taking as much advantage of.
And with just such boxed in curriculum, students do, I myself feel this way, begin to lose interest in what it is that they're learning about. And it becomes more of a thing where you sit down, you study something, you take a test, and then when you leave the classroom, you'll have no memory of what it is that you just did. That's obviously going to be an issue when you go on with the rest of your life.
It sounds like an amazing project, what you are doing with the Portland Student Union, and a great way to make our students and our communities stronger in the future. I'd like to let our listeners know about ways that we can support you, ways that we can get the message out. You know, how can people get involved with the Portland Student Union? And also, how can people get involved specifically around the teacher struggle?
So there's a lot of different ways to get involved. There's ways for students to be involved directly, as well as other members of the community. For students, we have a convention coming up where we would like to start, where we're going to work on building unions in each school. Last year, we had unions in several high schools, but we learned the lesson that turnover in high schools, and it's really easy for high school activism to fall apart. And so we would like to build those unions again. The convention is going to be Friday, November 22nd at 4:30 at the Portland Association of Teachers headquarters, which is 345 Northeast 8th Avenue. We are inviting all high school students in Portland Public and across the state of Oregon in Southwest Washington to come, join, learn how to build a union in your school, and learn how to do student organizing.
For the schools that do have active unions this year, Cleveland being one of them, there are typically lunch meetings that occur once a week where you can just come in, don't feel pressured at all. You can just sit and listen and sort of absorb what it is that we're doing. But that's a great way to get involved, or just talking to someone who you know is knowledgeable about the issues that we're supporting.
For students, it's important to talk to your teachers. They aren't specifically allowed to actually confront or tell their students about the issues, but they can respond to your questions. So ask them. I encourage you to ask your teachers. On Mondays, teachers are wearing blue in support, and there's buttons being shared. So if you want to show your support for the contract negotiations, wear blue on Mondays. For more information on the latest facts going on with the contract negotiations, you can visit pdxteachers.org. And for the Portland Student Union information, they have Facebook group. That's Portland Student Union. You can reach them by email at portlandstudentunion@gmail.com.
And Lily touched on the teachers' negotiations, which are going on right now, and that's where we really need support in our unions around the state, in our communities. We'd really like to put pressure on the district to give the teachers a good contract. Currently, it looks like the district is pushing teachers to strike. We've seen the district use union busting tactics. We don't want that to happen in the Portland public school system. That'd be extremely detrimental to our school year and to our teachers. And so you can go online and stay up to date with what's currently happening with the teachers union struggle. We'd love for you to come out to rallies, but also call the district and tell them that it's unacceptable to bust the teachers union and to put thousands of students at jeopardy to lose possibly 5 days of school if they're forced to strike.
So just simply emailing members of your community or administrators, just making sure that they're knowledgeable in the issues that are going on between the district and the teachers union, but also showing that you care about what's going on and that you aren't willing to just stand there and be silent as drastic issues are affecting your education.
And so there's some really big issues in the teacher's contract that affect us directly as students, specifically caseload, which currently high school teachers have 180 student cap that they can take on. The district wants to bump that up to 210 students. High school teachers currently have an hour and a half during the day to plan for classes. The district wants to cut that back to 60 minutes per day. And then the district wants the teachers to take on an extra class during the day. And so these are things that all directly affect us as students and don't leave our teachers the time to teach us effectively. And we don't see any reason that the district should be making these cutbacks in the contract. And these are the biggest issues that we as students are rallying around.
And on that teacher planning, the 60-minute teacher planning period would be outside of the school day, so they would teach a full 8 periods and then have their planning period outside of school, so whatever time they had to prep would now be taken away.
Additionally, if that is outside of school time and I would like to talk to my teacher about an assignment or get help, that would be their planning period, and I would be encroaching on the only time that they have to plan for 8 periods. So that directly affects me and as a student. If I want an essay to be graded or if I need help on that essay, I'm not going to get it from that teacher.
The current district contract proposal does not give teachers the time to teach, and it doesn't give students the time to learn.
The Portland Student Union has taken a stand on it. We are in support of the Teachers Union student focus proposal. That's the first of their two proposals. And we just really want to encourage district's bargaining team to talk about these issues, because currently they're refusing to talk about things like caseload, class size, planning time, that sort of thing. They've called these things permissive. So we actually have a petition going around that's encouraging the district's bargaining team to have these conversations, and we encourage everyone to go sign it.
So it's obvious that the district isn't going to budge and give the teachers a fair contract, and so that responsibility falls onto us as students and as communities to force the district to give them a good contract. And that's why we're organizing student unions, and that's why we need these student unions in every school, and we need our communities to put pressure on the district. And so the coming months, we'd really like to see the community come together and students come together and stand in solidarity with each other and put direct pressure on the district to settle with our teachers, so we can not only push back on these current proposals, but create a movement to really make the schools that we deserve and have beautiful schools in Portland and around the country.
And for those who are not students, you can join the PAT Solidarity Campaign, a group of community activists, parents, and others who are concerned about what the teachers are going through, concerned about schools in our community, and want to follow this excellent example of Portland students organizing to support teachers and education.
From November 11th to the 23rd, Francisca Iraeta Romero, a leader from El Salvador's oldest teachers union, will be touring the West Coast to share more information about the social transformations made by El Salvador's first leftist government. She will highlight the successful education reforms that have rapidly increased the country's literacy rate and made school more accessible to tens of thousands of low-income children. Francisco will be speaking in Portland on Monday, November 18th at 7 p.m. at In Other Words Bookstore. This event is made possible by the collaboration of the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, and Hondureños por la Pachamama. Check out pcasc.net for more info.
Thanks for tuning in to Labor Radio. You can find the archive of tonight's program, as well as links and information referenced in the show, online at kboo.fm. And on Facebook, just type in facebook.com/KBOO Labor Radio. Now stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
This has been Labor Radio here on KBOO Portland for November 11th, 2013. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University, dedicated to helping adults revitalize their careers by offering 5 part-time MBAs, including the Green MBA in Sustainable Business and the MBA in Healthcare Management. Evening, weekend, and online classes allow students to keep days free for work and other commitments. Winter term starts January 6th.
KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present The Yes Men Fix the World. Thursday, November 14th at 7 p.m., KBOO will be showing the 2009 indie classic film The Yes Men Fix the World. The Yes Men Fix the World is the true story of two political activists posing as executives of giant corporations. In their thrift store suits, they lie their way into big business conferences and pull off pranks. That's The Yes Men Fix the World, November 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/yesmen2013.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to join the Native American Appreciation Club and Mecha Club in co-sponsoring the First University of Portland Powwow, Saturday, November 16th at 1 p.m. Everyone is welcome to come celebrate and honor Native American Heritage Month. There will be traditional Native and Aztec dancers, singers, drummers, vendors, and more. That's the First University of Portland Powwow to take place at the Child Center, 5000 Willamette Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found on the right-hand side of kboo.fm under Community.